Oh, praise the Lord. I tell you, it's wonderful to be here tonight. You know, I just couldn't help but think, you know, it feels like a spirit of liberty here tonight. I know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And you know, in this world, there's so many things confined, and the captivity of sin and everything else, all the bondage that this world is in amazing ways and exclusively almost. But praise the Lord, there are people, a remnant people, that know their God. And you know, when we worship Him, when we give our heart to Him, wow, His presence comes down. There's just nothing like it when we can feel the Lord and know that He is right here in our midst. Praise the Lord. A wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. We are privileged. It's very nice to have Sue and Bill here. And we had a wonderful weekend with the Gleasons here and our new friends from Arizona too, Greg and Deb. And you know, just beautiful times in the Lord. But, you know, we are privileged. Because so many people don't know our God. So many people do live in bondage, the bondage of sin. And they've not been freed. They don't know what it's like to just have that weight drop off and no longer, you know, have that on your shoulders, so to speak, that impediment that's always there. And you know, just such a bondage. But praise the Lord knows how to deliver people. He knows how to take away sin so that we don't have to live under sin's demands and all the enslavement that sin brings about. And praise the Lord, yes, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty to worship Him in spirit and in truth because He makes us free, free from sin. Praise the Lord. I know so many people don't understand that, you know, the simplicity of why Jesus came, but He came to deliver us from sin. And what a beautiful thing it is to have come to the living Father, to our Savior, our God, and know that He has delivered us from our sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to have charge here in this service. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for being here, Lord. We thank You that we can worship You, Lord, that we can put our minds upon Thee, Lord. We can take our minds off the problems of this world, Lord, and all the hindrances, God. Oh, God, but we can give our hearts to Thee, Lord. We can think upon the good things of God. And Lord, we just thank You for this time that we have set aside to worship You, Lord. Oh, God, that we would give You praise, that we would give You glory, Lord, that our minds would be stayed upon Thee, Lord. Oh, God, we could do nothing without Thee. Oh, God, we're just dust of this earth, Lord, and how we need Thee, Jesus. Oh God, we are just so lost without Thee, Lord. But we thank You, Lord, that You gave us eyes to see. You opened up our ears so we could hear, Lord. Oh God, our minds, so, oh Lord, we could know the great and wonderful things of God. And we thank You, Lord. We ask that You be here in this place. We ask, oh Lord, that You have Your way in this service. Oh God, that this word would go forth, oh Lord, doing what Thou hast sent it to do, Lord God, that it would accomplish all that which, oh Lord, You desire it to accomplish. Be accomplished, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You, Lord. Ask, oh, Lord, that You'd have Your way, Lord, that You'd use me, God, that You'd use this message. Oh, God, that You'd bring us to higher ground, oh, Lord. And, oh, God, I pray that You'd intervene in lives here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You would talk to souls. God, I pray, oh, God, that You would baptize with the Holy Ghost. I pray, oh, Lord, that You would move, Lord. Oh, God, for we need You. Oh, God, we don't know how much time we have left. But we give this to You, Lord. We ask You to have Your way in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise our holy God. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. God is so good to us. It is good to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message Alive in Christ Jesus. Alive in Christ Jesus. And you know, I think we live in a time where there's a lot of deadness. I know so many individuals have tried to find churches and all they have found is deadness, you know, or just something that, you know, maybe resembles, you know, some kind of freedom in the Lord. But, you know, if it's not the true word of God, then where does it take you? But praise the Lord, it's a wonderful thing to have these King James Bibles. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to open them and to realize that God uses this book to speak to our hearts, to give us what we have need of. It's that manna from heaven and how we need it. We're pilgrims. We're strangers down here. How would we know where to go or how to do anything without the Lord showing us and leading us? How would we know? But praise the Lord, He has given us of His Spirit. He put the Holy Ghost deep in our hearts so that we could know His voice, so that we could follow Him. Oh yes, that we could cling to His precepts and be led by the Spirit of the living God. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing what Jesus Christ did. How God put, oh yes, Himself in a little earthen vessel. Jesus Christ, you know, came to this world as a man. Yes, praise the Lord. He came to this world to redeem us, to set us free from sin. And, you know, it is such a marvel. Jesus was so unrecognized and, you know, so disrespected by so many, so despised, so abused, so scorned. And yet He was God Almighty wrapped in flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonder. And we're here tonight because He has set us free. He has given us a breath of life. And we can be alive in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter, as we begin here tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, praise the Lord. And here, of course, we know this is one of Paul's epistles to the church that was at Ephesus. And the Lord had worked mightily in that church there. And here, down the road, he's writing this letter to them. He says in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And I think that's a wonderful verse right there. You know, to be quickened means to be made alive. And so it is. You know, we were all back there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all been back there. We were born in this world as a sinner. But praise the Lord, there was a moment, if we've been born again, that the Lord came to us in a way that it was very real to us. And praise the Lord, He began to talk to us. He began to call us. We begin to see things. And praise the Lord, we felt that need to repent of our sins and get right with God, didn't we? Praise the Lord. Yes, He talked to us. He helped us to see how disgusting we were and how we needed salvation. Praise the Lord, He talked to us. Oh, yes, and one day we saw our need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in those waters. A baptism for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to obey that command. And praise the Lord, yes, there was that day when He filled us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, I'll never forget that day when Jesus came into my life. Oh, and I thank God. Oh, I can't imagine what my life would be like if, you know, it had just not you've been intercepted by the voice of the Savior. Praise the Lord. But yes, one day He got a hold of me. And what a wonder it was. You know, I still marvel how it was, because, you know, as it says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We didn't know God. We were just walking in that state of confusion and deadness, really. We probably didn't realize we were dead, but, you know, if you don't have a breath of the Lord in your life, you're dead. But praise the Lord, that day, yes, He got a hold of me. And likewise, I believe you who are sitting here tonight, I pray that you that are listening to me online, there was a day when He got a hold of us. And I just thank God, you know, just all at once. All those little things that I held, you know, deep in my heart, oh man, they had to go, didn't they? All those crazy things, all those notions I had, all the rebellion in my heart, praise the Lord, it had to go. Because, oh, the Lord was talking to me. Praise the Lord, and I begin to see. I remember that service, yes. I couldn't wait to get up to that altar and pray. I couldn't wait to talk to the Lord. I praise the Lord, He met me that night. Yes, He did. He met me. And praise the Lord, before that night was over, He filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God. I thank God for what He did. And because I was young, I was 8 years old, I hadn't been baptized yet. The next Sunday, I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, I came out of that water, I was just rattling away in tongues. Praise the Lord, because God had changed me. Yes, and life was different now. It was new. Praise the Lord, I had been quickened by the power of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it says in verse 2, where in time past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were all back there. I'll tell you, we were. You know, and just, you know, walking according to what came to us to do. It says, according to the course of this world, you just, you know, the direction of the world leads the path. The way of the world, in other words. According to the prince of the power of the air. Oh, you know, the devil there, yeah, he holds people in captivity. And he doesn't want to free anybody. He will not free anybody. He keeps his people enslaved. He'll use them until, you know, he's done with them and plunk them into hell. But, you know, praise the Lord, our God, when He comes into our life, He loosens us from that bondage, from that sin, from that old way of life. Oh, praise the Lord. We don't have to walk in that way anymore, that spirit that worked in the children of disobedience. It's a new way. It's a living way when Jesus comes into our lives. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the way we walked. You know, and I remember, I know I was young, but, you know, I just didn't think I was going to, you know, be like my mom and dad. Things in my heart that, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, be like them. I didn't think these things that I was going to do that certainly would have been rotten bad. But praise the Lord. Oh, God, I thank you. Praise the Lord. He got a hold of our hearts. Amen. So we didn't have to walk, you know, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, those carnal mind, that's enmity with God. We didn't have to walk in that path anymore. We didn't have to be the children of wrath. Oh, yes, headed for a lake of fire. Praise the Lord. God freed us from that, even as others. Praise the Lord. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Oh, He loved us when we were yet sinners. Praise the Lord. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. This says, God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, yes, we didn't deserve that mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. But He loved us with such a sacrificial love that we could never deserve, a love, oh, that gives without expecting anything in return, a love so sacrificial that He died for us. Amen. You know, there's hardly any individuals that would die for another human being. But Jesus Christ, God robed in flesh, came to this world and took our sins upon that cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord. He died for us. He had this great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. And you know, at this point, He has quickened us. He has made us alive together with Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. By grace, we are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. When we come here together with one mind, one accord, we sit in heavenly places. The Lord is here. He is walking among us. He walks among the candlesticks, those churches. And praise the Lord, if we are alive in the Lord, oh, we want to tell it. We want to show it. Oh, it's that quickening power. And oh my, how can we stand still? Because He has made us alive and He has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, when we worship the Lord, we get our mind off these carnal things, these little things of this world, all the crazies that try to bombard us at times and overwhelm us and get our minds way off the track. But praise the Lord, we can get our minds on the Lord Jesus, what He did for us, and oh, yes, how He bought us with His own blood. And here, you know, here we can, if we've been redeemed by that blood, we can come here together. Oh, yes, we can get our minds off the things of this world and sit together here in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, surely where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty, oh, from that bondage of sin. Oh, praise the Lord. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, it's not even just for the moment. It's throughout all the ages to come, all eternity, that kindness that He has shown us, it will be forever there. Oh, we will just be basking in His presence, in His mercy, in His kindness, all those things that He has prepared for them that love Him. Oh, praise the Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I like that a lot. You know, it's not of our works that we have done. We have nothing to boast of ourselves at all, but He takes us. He takes us as we are. Oh, yes. But He begins to change us. He begins to work in us. You know, He begins to create a new creature in Christ. Those old things pass away and all things become new. Praise the Lord. And it becomes His workmanship. He takes us. Yes. And He begins to rework us. So, you know, we bring forth fruits. We have something to show Him. We become His product, so to speak. His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Oh, yes, we will do good works because He is in us. And we want to please Him. And we want to do those things that are right and good in His sight. We want to help other people. It's going to be within us when Christ is in us as Lord of glory, our Savior, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to walk in His ways. We're going to walk in His footsteps. We're going to walk in good works, the things that He puts within us that we can share. And you know how we can share the gospel, the glorious news, and help bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. Praise the Lord making us alive in Christ Jesus, having quickened us, we who are dead in trespasses and sins. Praise the Lord. We're going to go now to the Old Testament. And we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. And praise the Lord, I really enjoy some of these visions that God gave Ezekiel. And of course, I think it's good to recall that Ezekiel was one of the captives, and he had, you know, he was not at home, but you know what? God was with him. And even in spite of the fact that he had been carried off onto Babylon, in spite of that, God was with him. God was using him mightily, and God was doing glorious things and showing him all kinds of amazing material, you could say. But here it is in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel that he writes, and he says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones." And, you know, as he's writing this, I want us to just envision this in our minds. What he is writing here, you know, the Spirit of the Lord would take him places. And here it is that, in this case, God took him to a place you probably would never want to go, I would say, you know, a graveyard, so to speak. And there he is. God plopped him down, so to speak, there in the midst of a valley, which was full of bones. And verse 2 says, "And caused me to pass by them round about." Can you just see him? You know, God just carrying him around or walking him around or however that was. And, you know, he's beholding all this. And he says, "And caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry." So here it is. He's in the middle of this valley. It must be a pretty good sized valley. God's just having him walk in this valley, this open valley. And here it is. It's a graveyard. It's just full of bones. Many bones. Very many bones. And besides that, oh, those that were dead had been dead a long time. Those bones were very dry. And so, God's going to ask him a question in verse 3. "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" And I like how he answered. "And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest." You know, you see dead bones, you don't expect them to come alive, do you? But, you know, here's God. God can do anything. You know, God's asking the question, and Ezekiel answers, "O Lord, thou knowest." Again he said unto me, verse 4, "Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." Oh, what an amazing thing. God has told him to prophesy unto those bones, those very dead, those very dry bones. And tell those bones that they shall live. God's going to put breath back into them, and they're going to live. He's going to not only take those bones, but he's going to be wrapping them with sinews, the tendons, that tough fibrous tissue that connects muscle to the bones. He's going to bring that upon them again. Then he's going to put flesh upon that, and then cover the flesh with skin. And then, put breath in them. And they're going to live, he says. And besides that, ye shall know that I am the Lord. So, Ezekiel did so. It says in verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And isn't that amazing? I mean, here, you know, obviously, you know, if there's people that were dead bodies that were tossed, you know, in this valley. And who would know, you know, what would match what, you know? I mean, just a collection of bones. But they all began to come together. And praise the Lord, one day, yes, God is going to resurrect those dead bodies, our dead bodies, if we have gone on to be with the Lord. And you know, it's going to be a glorious resurrection. And God brings it all together again. But, you know, if there's a little more to that than this, than just what you might think on the surface. So it tells us, as he was prophesying, there was a noise. It wasn't just too quiet. And there was a shaking. God was doing a work, and you know, and as it all was happening, he began to see these bones all coming together, all connecting, bone to his bone. Oh, what a sight that must have been. Oh, what a thing to see, you know. I'll tell you, isn't that just a little bit like the day of Pentecost? I'll tell you, there certainly is a spiritual application to this scripture here, this vision that God is giving Ezekiel. There in the second chapter of the book of Acts, tells us in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Just as these bones are all together in one graveyard, all together in one place, one accord in one place. There on the day of Pentecost, it says in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Oh, what a moment that must have been. Praise the Lord. Oh, the 120 approximately that had gathered there, as Jesus had told them before he ascended, the need to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Oh, yes, he had told them that he would send forth his Spirit, that he was going to come again to them as the Comforter, as the Holy Ghost. And there they were. It was the feast day of Pentecost. There they were, all come together in one accord, in one place. And suddenly, yes, that sound from heaven came forth as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that just a little bit like, you know, what Ezekiel is seeing here? He prophesied. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking. Oh, yes, kind of things being disturbed. Things, all changing at that moment. And you know, there's this noise, there's this shaking, and the bones are all coming together, bone to his bone. And it says in verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. And that was pretty exciting. There, you know, they We're beginning to look like human beings again, but still, it's not complete, is it? Because it tells us, but there was no breath in them. Here, yes, there's that noise, there's that shaking. The bones are coming together. And there they are. Now with sinew and flesh and skin upon them, but yet no breath. Oh, I'll tell you what. There's a little bit more, isn't there? Verse 9 says, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Oh, we know that in the beginning when God created Adam, that it took the breath of God to make Adam a living soul, as we're told Genesis, the second chapter, verse 7. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. Amen. But Jesus had talked about a new birth, hadn't he? He talked about a second birth when he talked to Nicodemus, who came to him by night. He told Nicodemus that need to be born again, that need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of heaven. Yes, there was that need. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Oh, there was that emphasis that Jesus put on human beings. He gave it to Nicodemus at that moment. It wasn't quite yet, because all had not yet been fulfilled. But oh yes, he would come forth. And praise the Lord, on the day of Pentecost, it came forth, didn't it? So here, back in Ezekiel, God has told him to prophesy. And say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You see, it was kind of a two-step procedure, wasn't it? It was the first prophecy that Ezekiel was caused to do there. And oh yes, it came forth. That noise, that shaking. And the bones all came together. Oh yes, and oh yes, they began to be covered. Oh, with the sinew. And then, oh yes, with the flesh. And then with the skin. But yes, it was going to take a second prophecy for them to have the breath of life, the breath of God in their beings. Praise the Lord, he prophesied that second time. And praise the Lord, the breath of God came back into those beings. Oh yes, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet. Oh, an exceeding great army. Oh, praise the Lord. There it was. He had prophesied. Oh, yes, he had called, you know, the four winds. And I think it's quite interesting there that in Luke, the 13th chapter, that Jesus said, "And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God." Yes, and he said, "And there are first which shall be last, and behold, there are last which shall be first." But oh yes, God is going to call forth His family, His people. Oh, I believe there are going to be representatives from every tribe and nation and kindred and people, yes, at the resurrection. Oh, yes, those that God has called forth, those that He has ordained, a great and marvelous number of people, a great army that stands on their feet. Oh, yes, that the Lord has brought together, both Jew and Gentile, those that God has brought forth and put His breath within those people. Because you see, on the day of Pentecost, oh, yes, there were those indicators there. Oh, yes, as the Spirit of God began to move in that place. Oh, yes, in that noise from heaven, that sound from heaven, that mighty rushing wind which filled all the house where they were sitting. And then it began to happen. It appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of them. And praise the Lord, they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, I'll tell you what, God is bringing forth His breath into those people. Oh, yes, in the 20th chapter of John, after He had been resurrected, Jesus said to them that were gathered there in one of these places, John chapter 20, verse 21, says, Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And then, "And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And I believe He was doing that to indicate that the Holy Ghost that He had prophesied, that He had talked about, was going to fall upon them. Hello, it was an indicator that yes, that Holy Spirit that would come from heaven was a breath of Jesus Christ, the Comforter, the Spirit of the living God that would come and indwell in His people. Oh yes, to transform our lives, to change us, oh yes, from our wretched old selves, to make new creatures of us, oh yes, so that we could be quickened by the power of God, so that we could be alive in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, that's what He was doing. He was putting His Spirit in His people, oh yes, so that we might receive of the Holy Ghost, that Ghost that He gave up on the cross might come back to dwell in His people. And praise the Lord, that's what happened at Pentecost. That was the breath of God as He came forth and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. God breathed upon them and they received the breath of God. Oh, I'm so thankful when Peter preached that message there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, he told them, oh, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. On the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, yes. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Oh, yes. Your young men are going to see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. And on my handmaidens and on my servants, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what happened at Pentecost. Oh, yes, Peter could say, this is that. prophesied by the prophet Joel. Oh, yes, in the last days. Oh, yes, it was coming forth. It came forth on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, the Spirit of the living God that comes to dwell in us, to transform our lives, to change us, to make us new creatures in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that He did not leave us hopeless. Oh, He did not leave us, you know, without any comfort. But oh, yes, He sent back His Spirit so that He could be in us, so that the living God could dwell in our very beings. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and Peter preached that sermon on the day of Pentecost. Oh, you see what a transformed man Peter was. Oh, he wasn't afraid now, you know. He wasn't afraid of what somebody might do to him. I'm sure he didn't care if he lived or died that moment, because, oh, yes, now he felt the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. He stood up there and he declared the wonderful works of God. Oh, yes, and all at once, scriptures. Oh, yes, it had been prophetically uttered in the days of old, came to his mind as he was bringing forth the words of God. Yes, he went to the prophet Joel. Yes, verse 17 there in Acts 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, His Word. Oh, coming forth, quickening us, making us alive. Praise the Lord. We don't have to live in our deadness. We don't have to live in our sins, in the confusion of this world. Oh, no, because God, in a way, oh, yes, He wasn't going to leave us comfortless, but He was going to come unto us. Who is going to quicken us with that Spirit of the living God, that Spirit that indwelt in Jesus Christ was going to come and live in us. He's going to pray the Father. He tells us in John the 14th chapter, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Oh, yes, that Holy Ghost isn't just for a temporary moment. Oh, in times of old, the Holy Ghost would come upon the prophets of old, and they would prophesy. It was the Spirit of God that would come upon them for that moment so that they could utter the words that God would have them declare. But when He poured out of His Spirit the gift of the Holy Ghost, He said, I'm going to give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. It wasn't going to be just for a moment, but it was going to be, oh yes, that Spirit of the living God that would stay with us to guide us through this world. He has to take us through all the, you know, all the confusing places and all the hard moments and everything else, all the pain, all the suffering, and all those things. He was going to be with us. Oh, He said, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's the Spirit of God dwelling in us. In us. Praise the Lord. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more. But ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also. Oh, praise the Lord. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 26 here in John 14, Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that He puts in our heart, the peace that the world cannot give us, no matter how hard we might try to obtain it. Oh, I thank God for what He has given us, that Spirit of the living God that comes to us so that He might teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. Oh, yes, He told us if we have to go stand before the magistrates, that we don't have to prepare a long speech. We don't have to premeditate and determine what we need to say. He said He would prompt us. He would give us words. He would teach us. He would show us what we needed to say. He would bring what we needed to our remembrance. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. All that power that He put within us so that we could be a witness in this world, so that we could be a light. Yes, because the light of the Lord Jesus shines in us. And I'm so thankful that what He did at Pentecost wasn't just for that moment. It wasn't just for those people. Oh, He didn't manifest Himself in that way just, you know, for that time. So yes, those that were gathered there for that feast day could see this wonderful manifestation of the power of God, hear them speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God brought it forth even in their own languages. But Peter said, when they were pricked in their hearts, oh yes, during he had preached that message, oh yes, he came right to the point, and you know, he even told them that they had crucified the Lord of glory. But praise the Lord, He brought forth that point when they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I thank God, you know, we repent, we turn our lives over to God. And then we obey the command to be baptized in the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, yes, He forgives us our sins when we repent. But I'll tell you what, there's even a greater work that is done when we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's for the remission of sins. So that penalty for those sins is completely washed away in those waters of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then He said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, that promise. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, it happens in different ways. Sometimes, you know, people come up out of the water speaking in other tongues, and it's always happy. Sometimes it's with the laying on of hands. Sometimes it happens even before one is baptized, as was my case, as it happened in the 10th chapter of Acts, the household of Cornelius, for they started speaking in other tongues before Peter even finished that message that he was preaching to those people. Praise the Lord. And you know how it can happen in many ways. You know, maybe driving down the street, you know, thinking about the goodness of the Lord. Maybe while you're singing all at once, you know, this English language just isn't, you know, sufficient. Oh, yes, to praise the Lord with all our heart. All at once, giving, yielding our heart over to the Lord. Praise the Lord, He takes that little old tongue of ours and He begins to use it. Begins to, oh yes, reformate our life, that converting power of the Holy Ghost, that we could be transformed and changed into His image. And I'm so thankful, you know, it wasn't just for those there that were gathered at Pentecost. But Peter preached and said, for this promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, praise the Lord. It wasn't just for that specific time or place. Continues through the ages, and here we are 2,000 years beyond, pretty much, And that Holy Ghost is still falling today. The Lord is still pouring out of His Spirit as He promised it. Oh, yes, there on the day of Pentecost. So it is. It's for us, even today, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, I praise the Lord. There in Ezekiel, yes. The prophetic word says in verse 14 of Ezekiel 37, "And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I will place you in your own land, that then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, there was going to be a restoration after, you know, they were carried off into Babylon and to other places. And they were going to be brought back. That was promised. They did come back. But, oh, it goes beyond that, doesn't it? Because, oh, yes, the whole household of Israel is actually Jew and Greek, Jew and Gentile. Oh, yes, the family of God consists of men and women, boys and girls from all tribes and nations and kindreds and people. Oh, yes, Jesus instructed, you know, that before His return to this earth, that the gospel would be preached in all nations. It would be brought forth, because this good news of the gospel wasn't just for one specific people. It wasn't reserved for one race of people. The first covenant pertained mostly to the Jewish people. But praise the Lord, this second covenant, oh yes, is opened up unto all that will come unto me and drink of the waters of life freely that He will give to those that will come to these living waters that He has offered. Oh, yes, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Oh, yes, as Jesus cried forth. That's why He came. Oh, yes. Oh, the devil comes to destroy, to kill, to plunder, to devastate, to do all the nasty things that he can do. But Jesus came that we might have life. Oh, yes, and that we might have life more abundantly. Oh, yes, a living life. Oh, yes, all the life that he has reserved for his people, that he has made possible for his people. Oh, praise the Lord that we don't have to live in our trespasses and sins, but instead be quickened by the Spirit of the living God. Oh, yes. And be joint heirs with Christ. Oh, yes. Those that come to the living water and drink of the waters of life freely. Praise the Lord that He has brought forth for His people to drink of, to partake of. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go to a little bit more in the book of Ezekiel, actually. There's some mighty, wonderful utterances besides what I've already read. Let's look at Ezekiel 36 here for a moment. I was in Ezekiel 37, but you know, there's a bit here in Ezekiel 36 that I want to share here tonight. It says, if we look at this chapter, starting with verse 23, "And I will sanctify my great name." Oh, that name had been profaned among the heathen. And yes, His first covenant people hadn't done so well. They had profaned His name greatly. Wherever they went, they didn't stand up well for the cause of Christ. They embraced other deities, other gods, idols, all kinds of other ways of the heathens. But God was going to reverse that. It says in verse 23 again, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen, shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." Oh, God was going to do a wonderful work. He was, you know, that name that they had blasphemed, that name that they had profaned, that name that they had disgraced, debased, defiled, made it unholy. He's going to sanctify it. He's going to make it holy among the heathen. They're going to see, they're going to know. There is a name that is above every name. Oh, the name of Jesus that he was going to bring forth, oh, yes, and declare among the people. In the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. And praise the Lord, yes, there was that restoration when they would be brought out, the Hebrew people. But this is going beyond that, because he's talking about a time when, you know, he's going to bring forth a new covenant. It says in verse 25, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean." Oh, he was going to make them clean. And he's not talking about just water that you cleanse yourself with to make your body clean. A bath, in other words. No, he's talking about those disgusting things deep within, those things in the soul that need to be removed, that need to be cleansed. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness." All the filthiness of sin, all those ugly things that are deep down in the heart, those disgusting things, oh, that the heart, you know, we don't always know those things that are deep down inside. But the Lord knows how to change us, how to turn us upside down, so to speak. We see, oh yes, the disgustingness of sin. Oh yes, we come to the Lord in repentance, don't we? Oh yes, and ye shall be clean. Oh yes, and he made a way that we could, oh yes, those sins remitted in those waters of baptism. "From all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you." And not only, he says in verse 26 here, in Ezekiel 36, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." He's talking about a heart that can be molded by the presence of God. A heart that will allow the Lord, a contrite spirit, a meek and a contrite spirit that gives itself over to the living God. A heart that the Lord can take, not a stony, hard heart that is so rigid and set in its ways that nothing seems to move it at all. Oh, yes. But he said he would take away that stony heart out of your flesh. Oh, I'm so glad for what the Lord has done. Oh, the rebellion of my youth and, you know, all those ways that I had purposed to walk in. But praise the Lord knew how to break up that stony, rebellious heart. Oh, yes, and he did it for us. All of us, did he? And he gave us a heart of flesh, a heart, oh yes, that could be changed, that could be dealt with. That you would tremble at the presence of the Lord, and you fear God, and you know, turn over to the Lord. "And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." See, he puts his spirit within us when we come to him for those living waters. He puts his spirit within us so that we might walk in his statutes, that we might keep his judgments. We could never do it of ourselves, our own waywardness, our own rebellious nature, all of those things. We couldn't live that righteous life. Our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know, we are unclean. We are unholy in the sight of God. There is nothing that we could do of ourselves to redeem ourselves. But the Lord made a way. Oh, are we not so thankful that God made a way that we could come to his transforming power, turning our lives over to him? Oh, yes, turning in repentance. Oh, and we could be cleansed from all our filthiness, from all our idolatry, all those other nasties that were a part of our old nature. Be cleansed, be purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And yes, praise the Lord, he takes that old stony heart, that old rebellious nature. Oh, praise the Lord, he puts the Spirit within us to cause us to walk in his statutes, causing us to keep his judgments, to put it within us so that we might walk in his ways. Oh, he says, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Oh, what a blessing this second covenant is. Oh, yes, that the Lord would reach out to all kindreds, all tongues, all people, that we could all come to him and be his people, and he would be our God. He says in verse 29, I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine among you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Oh, I love how the Lord brings it to us. And it might be pretty hard at the first to realize, hey, I'm a sinner. Hey, I'm dirty. I'm filthy. I've done all kinds of ugly, horrendous things. But he begins to show us what we're like inside. That old man, that old nature. And oh my, we begin to see it, right? Praise the Lord. Thank God we can turn it over to the Lord. We can loathe those old ways. And praise the Lord. We serve a God who forgives us, who takes those old sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what he does. He makes us alive so we can walk in his ways, in his ordinances. Keep his ways deep down inside so that we can hear that voice of the Holy Ghost speaking to our souls, saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you go to the right and when you go to the left, that directing of the Holy Ghost to lead us, to guide us into all truth so that we might know his statutes, we might know his precepts, we might have them hidden in our heart. As it tells us in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, as he talked of things pertaining to the new covenant there, another prophetic utterance that this time Jeremiah declared. He said in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel name of the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Praise the Lord. That's what he was going to do. He's going to put that transforming power of the Holy Ghost within us so that, oh yes, that law would be in our hearts. It would be in our inward parts. It would be written on the table of our hearts. And he will be our God. We will be his people. And they shall no more teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. You know, he becomes our personal Savior. We don't have to rely on a priest or, you know, some other individual to show us, you know, to pray for us so that our sins would be remitted. We don't have to go to such a one to find salvation. But praise the Lord, we can, as individuals, come to the living God. We can all know the Lord. It says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Oh yes, we can all have that walk with the Lord. We can all commune with him. We can all be led by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Isn't that beautiful? How the Lord takes us. How he loved us when we were yet sinners. Had done nothing to deserve of his salvation. But yet he took us. He called us. We made those old dead bones. Oh, because we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Oh, he made them alive. Praise the Lord, because when he filled us with the Holy Ghost, he breathed unto us the breath of everlasting life. Oh yes, that transforming power of Almighty God. Oh yes, it was going to take the breath of God to make those bones alive. And so it takes his breath in the spiritual sense to make us alive in Christ Jesus. Oh, we need him to come into our lives. We need the Holy Ghost to come into our lives, to transform us, to change us, to help us to walk in his ways. Praise the Lord. I love how he declared the 7th chapter of John. It was another feast day at that point. It says in verse 37 of John 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 tells us, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Oh, praise the Lord. He knew that he had to leave this earth in his human form in order for the Holy Ghost to come back. But how I love how he declared that he was not going to leave us comfortless. You know, the plan of God, you know, was so complete and so, you know, precise, and all those declarations that had been made. Oh, yes, he wasn't going to leave us comfortless. but he was going to come and dwell within our very beings. He was going to pray the Father, wasn't he, to give us another comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, even the comforter, yes, that would come and abide with us forever. Oh, praise the Lord, that we would not have to be dead in our trespasses and sins, but that the Spirit of the living God that dwelled in Jesus Christ could come and dwell in our hearts. Romans 8th chapter talks a lot about the wonderful Spirit of life that the Lord has sent forth, and the need to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he said in this 8th chapter of Romans in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But he said in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. See, you know, we die to our old nature, our old self. That old body of sin becomes dead. Because, yes, we die out to it. But praise the Lord, instead of that carnal old body, he puts the Spirit of life within us. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And he says in verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Oh yes, praise the Lord, that Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God, is that transforming Spirit that, oh yes, one day is going to quicken our mortal bodies so that we can be transformed into his glorious body. Oh yes, so that we can be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, that this old mortal body can put on immortality and death can be swallowed up in victory. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Oh, praise the Lord, what the Lord did for us, so that we could be alive in Christ Jesus, so we could be transformed, so we could be changed, so the breath of the living God could dwell in our innermost being. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, the transforming Spirit of the Holy Ghost that one day is going to take us from this world to the next. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't you love the Lord tonight? Oh, yes, we rejoice in his salvation. We rejoice in what he has done for us. The wonderful plan of God, that he would not leave us comfortless, but that he would come and dwell in our very beings. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We rejoice in the salvation that you've given us, Lord. I pray that you talk to us. I pray that your Spirit would fall, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would move, Lord Jesus, among us. Oh Lord, oh God, as this message goes forth, I pray that you would move, Lord. Oh God, and that your presence, your Spirit would fall, Lord. That you would make your people alive. In the name of Jesus, I ask, by the power of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, alive in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The breath of God dwelling in our innermost being. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our hymnals to number 56 and sing "The Comforter Has Come," number 56. Tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human mind, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's voice given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. The long, long night is past, the morning breaks at last, and hushed the dreadful wail and fury of the west, as o'er the golden hills the day advances fast, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Lo, the King of Kings, with healing in His wing, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells, the song of triumph rings, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine, to wandering world tell, the matchless ways of knowing, that I, a child of hell, should in His image shine, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father has come. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come.
heaven, the Father draws in. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.